privilege to serve the saints. Privilege to serve the saints in Pleasant Hill, Eugene, Springfield, and it's been a real pleasure to serve the saints here. There's some sweet fellowship I've had with saints I've heard about, such as Gene. Matt Hartford spoke of you, and any one of the first guys I met, and I'm so thankful for the kingdom increasing. And sweet fellowship with the saints around the country. You know, Bob, you're going to go to Belarus, and you know, you started to cry about those kids, and when Steve was showing the pictures of those kids, and I got choked up. There's some sweet saints there. Sweet, sweet saints. And it's an awesome thing to be able to be a part of the eternal kingdom. As we move forward and we share the gospel of glory, as we share the face of Christ by the life that we live. Amen? You know, there's a lot of folks that are never going to pick this thing up unless they see it first manifest in us. Amen? And the greatest commandment, which fulfills all others and manifests the great and glorious character of our God, is love. Amen? So I'd have you turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 12 this morning to start. Mark chapter 12. And in Mark chapter 12, in verse 28, we have a great calling from our God and our Christ. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For there is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. And I want you to turn to another passage this morning, if you would, to begin. Verses that I will use as anchor verses for the message this morning. And that will be 1 John. 1 John in chapter 4. One of the two sons of thunder, touched and changed and transformed by the love of his Christ, speaks this way in 1 John chapter 4, and if you would, two verses, 16 and 17. "And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By what was just said, knowing, believing, and abiding in God's love, love is then perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." As he is, God is love, so also are we in this world. Let's pray. Our Holy Father in heaven, I pray that any prejudice towards the messenger would not cloud the message. I pray that the message from your word would be heard, and we would be touched deeply in our hearts, that we might manifest your character of love. For as you are, so also are we in this world. Our Holy Father, the world will not come to know our Christ and our King unless they see His love manifest in His body, in His people. And I pray, Holy Father, that You would help us to understand how to accomplish this great and high calling. We ask this in Christ, our King, our Savior, our life. We pray in His name. Amen. These things that we'll talk about this morning are matters of the heart. These things we will speak of this morning have to do with the love of our God for us. And if we recognize the love that God has for us, it will flow from us in our love for others. A stream can rise no higher than its source. We love because He first loved us. Did you know that Mark in chapter 12 can become a law that kills? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and if you don't, you're coming up short. You know, we can take what Jesus intended and make it a law that we'll condemn. You want to fulfill the Ten Commandments, then you better do those too. And if you don't do those two, you're not going to make the grade. Wow. To go from 10 to 2 seems a little bit easier. But I'll share with you that you can't do the 2 unless you first recognize God's love for you. You will not love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength unless you recognize first that God loves you with all His heart. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We love because He first loved us. We cannot love and fulfill this greatest of all commandments unless we first understand His great love for us. Did you know there's a great calling to love? It's not just in this book, Mark chapter 12. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, we're near to the kingdom if we do, you know. That's what Jesus said. How many of you have ever read 1 Peter in chapter 1 where it says something like this? We are to love our brothers fervently from the heart. Love our brothers fervently. Check that word out. Fervently from the heart. And you know the goal of our instruction, don't you? 1 Timothy. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. So do we want to fulfill the greatest of all commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, which will empower us then to love our neighbor as ourselves? Because when we do it to the least of these, we've done it unto who? Jesus, right? I submit to you that we must first understand God's love for us. And in fact, Bob, this morning during your Lord's Supper meditation, had we talked at all before you did that? No. I think God's got a message this morning and He wanted to do it at least twice. That happens at Pleasant Hill all the time. One guy stands up and does the prayer meditation, and one guy stands up and does the Lord's Supper meditation, and I play clean up, and it's all the same message. And we do not conspire. God does, but we didn't, did we? Matters of the heart. Junk comes from the heart, but good stuff comes from the heart. Therefore, we must guard our heart diligently, as it says in the book of Proverbs. For it's the wellspring of our life. Amen? Whatever gushes out comes from the heart. Is your heart pure? And is your heart in love with God? For you know that He is in love with you. Going back to 1 John, if you would, then this morning, 1 John in chapter 4, one of my favorite new creation passages, as He is so also are we in this world. But what precedes it is what's important. What precedes it is what's important. If we would take a look there in verse 16, what a powerful verse. By this love is perfected with us if we understand and participate fully in verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have come to know. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Question this morning. Have you come to fully know the love that God has for you? No?
Well, I got all the scriptures written down and memorized, so I know it.
You got to go one step further. Yes, you need the scriptures to know academically, scripturally, but you got to go further. I've come to know and have believed, convinced, convicted. It's absolutely true. For the men this morning, Jim spoke up here about how sometimes us men, I know you ladies never do this, but how sometimes us men, we grind on ourselves. Stupid. Oh, I can't believe you did that. You're such a loser. Now, I know I'm not the only one. Who am I to accuse the beloved of God? We have to be careful. The one who is infinitely valuable. We need to academically understand the love of God, but even more than that, we have to believe it. Now, I grew up in a pretty harsh home. My dad was a military man. His dad was a military man. If you were to come to my home and you would go into my office, the first thing you would see is a picture of my grandfather. First World War. Awesome.
Man.
But he beat his son. He abused his son. He was unfaithful to his wife. He left when my dad was 11. My grandmother kicked my father out at 14. My father never saw the love of a father. He was abused. Emotionally stunted. Unable to love. And he ran off when he was 16, lied about his age, and went into the military. And I have a picture of my dad. Right in front of my desk. Bronze Star. For heroism. Courage under fire. But he drank and smoked and beat us kids. I interfaced with my father rarely. But when I interfaced with my father, it was at the end of a razor strap. 3 feet long, 3 inches wide, wooden handle. But your dad gets home. You know what those words meant? I would cower for hours waiting. And then, when my father got home, for whatever infraction, we were made to bend over and grab our ankles. I was his namesake, so there was an expectation that I would measure up. William Arthur Compton Jr. You measure up. Though I was the youngest, it seemed like I got the severest beating. I'd have to ask my brothers to see if they felt the same way. I cannot remember a time when my dad held me and said he loved me until I was 18 and walking out the door to college. And he was watching a great football game and my mom was and my dad was watching a football game. Bill, get out of here! Bill, get out of here! No, my dad is Bill, of course. She watches, slams the door. It was a great relationship my mom and dad had. Get out! And he comes out going, Love you. Goes back in the house. Little boys need dads to tickle them and roughhouse with them and take them fishing and playing ball and getting on the floor and wrestling. And they need them to tell them, I love you every day. Little boys need that. Little girls need to be hugged by their dad and tickled by their dad and stories read to and taking them out to that special place. And little girls need that. So, I was stunted emotionally. And the religions that I was involved in, as some of you know from yesterday's lesson, were also very emotionally abusive. In 2004, my dad died and I was searching for the love of my father because I had not ever found it. But I found it in the arms of my Father in heaven. It goes something like this. A young man told his dad, I want my inheritance. You give it to me right now. And he took that inheritance and he squandered it on wild living. I will not define that. The Bible will define that for you as the audience we have here today. Some ears do not need to hear that. But many of you older saints know what I'm talking about. I was that young man. There came a point in my life when the end of a rope looked very appealing to me to stop the pain. And yet someone reached out with the Bible. Even though I was immersed into Christ on August 12, 1982, I still did not understand the love of my Father. I, by faith, was immersed and did receive the remission of my sins and filled with the Holy Spirit, but I still did not understand the love of my Father. So now I have a Heavenly Father, and you know how I perceive His relationship with me? How do you suppose? Okay? I was always under the gun to perform, to be pleasing, otherwise I was going to get a beating. You want to know how transparent I probably was with my Father, my physical Father? I didn't let Him know nothing I was doing. He's just going to have to find out. I got away with a lot. That's a stinking way to start a Christian life, having that mindset. But in 2004, my dad passed, and I was searching. And so I found the prodigal son, and I saw myself in that picture. But you know what? I saw my dad. For the first time, I saw my dad in that picture. You know what that dad did? That boy, when he was feeding those pigs, remember what he said? My dad's servants get better food than I'm getting. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my dad and I'll say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy to be your son. So he picks himself up and he goes to his father. And here's the best part. Here's the part that was a multitude of scriptures, but this part rendered me. And when he was still a far way off, his dad saw him. In other words, he wasn't tight with his dad yet. He was still a far way off. I was still, even as God's son, I was still a far way off. And the father saw me. And remember what he did? He ran as fast as he could, and it says that he grabbed him and he hugged him and he kissed him. And I don't remember any hugs and kisses. But man, I could feel the hugs and the kisses, and I realized all of a sudden that God was well pleased to crush His Son for me. How much does God love me? How much does God love you? More than He loved His own Son. My father came and hugged me and kissed me. And I said, you know, God, I'm not worthy to be your son. And you know what that father did? Did you catch this when you've read that before? He did not even respond to that statement. Go check it out. He does not say, yep, you're right. He doesn't say that. He just like rejects it. He goes, hey, bring the family ring. Bring the robes, the shoes. Kill the fatted calf. My son who was lost is now found. Jim, you got kids? Now, I'm not going to ask any particulars, but I'm going to give you a hypothetical. I know what your answer is going to be. If one of your kids rejected you and walked away, I want nothing to do with you, Dad, I'm out of here, and they were gone, would you still think of them? Would your heart be wrenched inside? Would you still love them? Would you hope every day you got a phone call? Check my messages. Would your heart break every day when you didn't get that call? And then if you saw his car pull up in the driveway, what would you do? You'd bolt for that door and you'd slam it open and you'd go out and you'd hug him. Right? God never stopped loving you. God never walks away from you. Not understanding His love, we walk away from Him. We stop loving Him. We got to know first how much He loves us. I have come to know, and I'm absolutely convinced, check out the word believe there, I'm absolutely convinced He loves me that much. If I sin, the Scripture uses that word, if I sin, not when I sin. Amen? 1 John. If I sin, I don't hide anymore. I don't run anymore. I go and say, man, I blew it again. And I want to please You. Could You forgive me? And you want to know what happens? No 3-foot, 3-inch leather belt. It's not there. Man, I'm so glad You came back home. Man, I loved it. I missed You. Man, I'm so thankful. Big hug, big kiss. Go get him! That's how much God loves you. God created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels, not you. Not you. He wants you home. You cannot love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength if you don't first understand how much God loves you. We love because He first loved us. Do you understand that truth? My faith before 2004, August 2004, my father passing, was I was running to keep up with what I thought the expectation was. And you want to know how often I measured up? How often, Jim? I didn't. Because what was motivating me? Something other than the greatest motivator of all. Oh, you can motivate me with a whip, all right. And I'll serve as long as that whip is there. As soon as that whip's gone, guess what I'm going to do? Whatever I want. And it's oftentimes the opposite of what the person with the whip wants. But you know what? When I understand that my Father loves me, I am going to do everything and anything He wants to be pleasing to Him. I don't have to be in the assembly every Lord's Day. I want to be in the assembly every Lord's Day. I don't have to pray every day. I want to pray every day. I can't wait to spend time with Dad. I spent some time with Him already. I spent some time with the family. I've listened to what he had to say this morning. I want to do some more today. I can't wait. Because you know what he consistently says to me? I love you. I don't want you to do that because that's going to kill you. But I'm so excited that you're doing that. I'm so proud of you. Until you understand that, you cannot abide in the love of God. If you don't know it and don't believe it, how can you live it? What does the word abide mean? Live. Live in. You can't give to others what you don't have yourself. You can't love God if you don't understand He loves you. A stream can rise no higher than its source. The source is who? You? The source is who? God. Search the Scriptures to know His love for you. I know many of you are still running and hiding because you don't think you measure up. Jesus measured up. His life was granted to you, and your life was crucified and taken away. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in this body, I will live by the faith of the Son of God, the one who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And because he loved me and delivered himself up for me, I'm going to love him and I'm going to deliver myself up for him. Now, some of you folks out there have had great dads, so this probably doesn't have any impact on you. My prayer is that you'd be a daddy just like your Heavenly Father then. So the damage that was done to my dad by his dad doesn't happen to my kids, to your kids. Now let's get on with the greatest commandment. I encourage you, brethren, to give yourself fully to the study of God's love for you so you can indeed, with all your heart, love the Lord your God. And I want to ask you this question, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It says you're supposed to love Him also with your mind, and you're also supposed to love Him with your soul, and you're also supposed to love Him with your strength. Notice that the heart is not the same as the mind. Your heart is not the same as your mind. I've heard folks tell me, well, your mind is where the transformation process takes place. It is a mechanism by which your heart is transformed. Your heart is the core and the center of your being. The word here, heart, in Mark chapter 12, is cardia. It's different than soul. It's different than mind. It's different than strength. Real quickly, the word soul there is psyche. It means that immaterial part of your being. It's the inner person or the unique personhood that God made you at the moment of conception. Psalms 139 says what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? And when God made you, He broke the mold. In other words, there's nobody like you. You're unique. You're distinct. How many of you have more than one child? Please raise your hand. All right? I'll tell you what, I got three boys. Their birthdays are coming up real quick. And when Andrew came out of the womb, he was playing the piano. He was artistic. He was calm. He was cool. I mean, from the moment we knew that this guy was high end. When he was a little kid, in fact, there's a little boy over here, Bill and Rose, the grandson, who was over here playing the piano yesterday, and he sounded good. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing, but he sounded good, tickling the ivory. My son Andrew, same thing. I mean, he crawled over. I'm not telling you a lie. We got pictures of this. He crawled over as a little kid. He was attracted to the piano. You know what he's doing now at 15? He's playing the piano and he's singing. What a gift. My second son is Rambo Ryan. Rambo Ryan. He's got a different personhood than Andrew. Andrew is, well, we should think about this and let's plan the way. And Rambo Ryan is, George! Where are we going? When Ryan got his Social Security card, this is the greatest thing. You got a social security card and I go, oh, what am I supposed to do with it? Daddy's like, so cool. You know, you're supposed to sign it. And you know how he signed it? Ryan, the great hunter. He's barely just, it was the coolest thing. We're going to give him another one, but we're not losing that one. Ryan, the great hunter. You know, when Ryan came out, I'm telling you, Andrew was really cool. He was a great little baby. I mean, quiet in the delivery room. When Ryan came out, Ryan! He hasn't stopped. Look, you meet my son Ryan? Wow. Now, Jacob, our last son, he's got a little bit of both. He's kind of smelled. And he thinks before he acts, but when he acts, look out, it's 110%. But he'll think about it first. And you know what? Oftentimes, he thinks about it first, and what he gets done is a lot better. You know, he does it, what? With a little bit of finesse, a little bit of planning, a little bit more detail. They charge! But he's usually charging in the right direction, and he's got some other people helping him out, so he doesn't damage himself or anybody else. Wow! Personhood! Soul! Each one of us is unique and distinct. Those boys had the same upbringing, but they're so different. God made us different for a reason, to serve Him in our place and do our part. We can't do it. He can't do it without you. Oh, I love that soul part. See? What about the next one? The mind. The nail. To think. To reason. It's that inner person process where we take information, we receive it, we analyze it, we synthesize it, and then we act. How do you form a habit? First you form habits and then they form you. A thought repeated becomes a what? An action sooner or later. An action repeated becomes a what? A habit. Good or bad, right? And a habit repeated becomes our character, and our character will determine our destiny. I added that part to that thing. I thought it was good. Okay? But you know what? We do things automatically. Someone was talking about default. Bob, you were talking about default. You default back. It's because that part of your heart has not yet been trained by your mind. The mind trains the heart. It's that gateway to the heart. Remember, when you were little kids, how many remember when you were little kids? I didn't grow up in the Church of Christ, but remember the little song that you guys used to sing, and I unfortunately never got to sing? Oh, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. Right? Why? Because you don't want to be messing up. These physical senses gather information, and your hopper, the mind, grinds it up and says, this is reality, and that's your heart. So my dad gave me a moral reality. My dad gave me an emotional reality. My dad gave me a willful reality. My dad gave me my motives as well. My physical dad. Guess what I had to do? I had to get a new heart. God performed heart surgery. Thank goodness. Now I have to diligently guard and train my heart and allow my dad to do the training through what? To allow my dad to do the training through what? His Word, yeah, His Word. Okay? The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the mind. Right? Wrong. Read that one again. Hebrews 4:12. Able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Good. Good. Let God do the training through the mind. But how about the strength? We already talked about that a little bit. The word strength there, the physical part of our being, which includes the five senses, our physical body given to us to minister to God, but those five senses taking information through the mind, and it is processed through that hopper, and it comes out like a Rambo Ryan, or a pianist Andrew, or a calm, collected, figured out and act Jacob, or I'm not sure what I am. My mom told me a whole bunch of things. But anyway, all that process comes from the heart. See? I would submit to you that the soul, the mind, and our physical being are gateways to the heart. Did you catch that? I would submit to you those are gateways to the heart. And we need to be careful what we allow our physical body to experience, because it's going to go into the mind and it's going to train the heart. Okay? Really quickly then, I would encourage you to define, study the Scriptures, and define what this spiritual heart is. Might I share with you, last time I took an anatomy class, my physical heart had 4 chambers. Might I suggest to you that your spiritual heart has 4 as well? If you would just take a moment and write a few things down. I know that I'm almost out of time, and you know, I know we're not going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant today, but I would encourage you to do your own Bible study on this. Here we go. This heart that is to love God, this heart to love God with all your heart, means that all 4 parts of your spiritual heart capacity must be given to Him. Our spiritual heart is the core of our being. Our spiritual heart is the center, number one, of our morality. The spiritual heart is the center of our morality. Our responses to this world and people will either be a God response or a godless response, depending on how the heart has been trained. My physical father taught me in a godless response. But he didn't know any better. My Heavenly Father has trained me and continues to train me, and I love spending time with Him, in a God-like, Christ-like response. And as my heart is trained, I become more and more like who, and less like who? More and more like Christ, and less like the old default training that my dad and others voiced in there, right? Train the heart. You were given a new heart, by the way, in Christ. That's why it says in Proverbs, and you might want to write this one down, Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. Put the word in your heart and guard your heart so other junk doesn't get in there, for it's the wellspring of your life. Check it out. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. Awesome passage about the heart and an encouragement to do the right thing. Our center of our moral being, governing our standards of conduct. I would encourage you to write a few verses down if you would. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to God's Word. That's 119.9. Check out 119.11. It's great. Okay? Proverbs 4.23, I already told you about. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. I believe was shared earlier today about the junk that can come out of your heart. But there's good stuff, good treasure that can come out of your heart, and that's the good stuff from God's Word we want to put in. The second part of our heart, the center of our emotions, it's our attitudinal response. The second chamber of our spiritual heart is our center of our emotions. It's our attitudinal response. How many have ever looked up the dictionary? I know we're not supposed to talk about emotions in the Church of Christ. I know that's against the law. Oh, we're not under law anymore. Okay, I understand that. We're not supposed to feel. But God's Word says. Would anybody agree with me that bitterness is a terrible emotion? And anybody here agree with me? Hello?
Yes, good.
It's a terrible emotion. How many would say that joy is a great emotion? How many of you know that the Bible teaches, the book of Proverbs, that those two are in a converse universe? Bitterness is the opposite of joy. But a heart can possess both. Which do you want in your life? God wants to fill your heart with joy. The devil wants to fill your heart with bitterness. Emotion. You might want to jot this down and check me out. The word emotion, if you were to go back, and it's a French word, the word E. That's the French word E means, are you ready? Out. The word E. Emotion is 2 words. E, motion. E means out. Motion means moving. Okay? How many of you have known people that know your hot button? How many know what I'm talking about, your hot button? Okay? Watch Dad when I do this. Woo! I was like, great? It just bugs them to death. Okay. Now, my sons don't know about their brother's hot buttons at all.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. Jake knows Ryan's and Ryan knows Jake's and Andrew knows both. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard keeping up with those guys. You're saying, oh, you must be a terrible dad. Look, come on, give me a break. They're boys. Now, they're good boys. They're respectful. They work hard. They love God. But they're boys. And we all know people's hot buttons. But you know what? No one was able to push the hot buttons of Jesus. Did you notice that? Jesus didn't have any hot buttons. Go back to the book of Proverbs again. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs. Study Proverbs, the book of wisdom, to give you a heart of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about a tranquil heart. Are you ready? A tranquil heart gives life. A tranquil heart? You know what I get in my mind? A tranquil heart. When I throw a stone into a tranquil heart, depending on the size of the stone, it's going to cause ripples, right? Let me give you an example of Jesus' heart. It was always tranquil. Doesn't matter what hot button they tried to push, it was always tranquil. Now, emotion means what? Moving out. How many have ever flown off the handle before? Don't raise your hand! Don't raise your hand! Sometimes they're rhetorical questions and sometimes they're not. I'm sorry, that was a rhetorical one. I knew you knew the answer to that one. Okay, someone got your hot button and you had this tranquil pool in your heart and someone threw a rock and went, my dad was a brawler too. So guess how my heart was trained when I was a kid. I broke my first nose at 5. Wow, your dad did a lot of training early on. Sure did. I'm embarrassed. But that's how my heart was trained. But you know what? Jesus had a tranquil heart. If you're the Son of God, come down from there and we'll believe you. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you're the Son of God, get us off this cross and save us. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Right? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Get out of here. Right? His heart was tranquil. Brethren, anger was trained into you at some point in time. And it's a hot button. You know what? You said it this morning, Jim. Get that junk out. Let all anger and wrath and malice and slander, put it all aside and put on a heart of. As those who are beloved of God, put on a heart of. Are you ready? Compassion. Right? How many know where I'm at? Colossians 3:12. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, mercy, forgiveness. Can we put that heart on? We did when we became a Christian. But now, as you said, Jim, God is setting this thing up for me. Thanks. Thanks. Praise God. We train the heart. Get the old stuff out. We have the power to do that. Put the good stuff in. The compassion, the mercy, the gentleness, the kindness, the courage, confidence. It all comes from the Spirit speaking through His Word. Amen? Put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit as He speaks through His Word. You don't spend time listening to God, guess what will happen? There will be other voices that will train your heart, and you won't be able to love God with all your heart, for your heart will love other things. A house divided cannot stand. Guard your heart and fill it with all good things. The third part of the heart is the center of our will, the strength of our responses to people and things. The strength. It's the will is our purposeful, determined action. Proverbs 16:9. What a beautiful passage. I'd have you turn there. Proverbs 16:9. And the translators kind of messed up a little bit on this one. And so I'm going to encourage you to go back and check it out yourself. 6 months ago, I got convicted about love the Lord thy God with all my heart, and I want to do that, and I didn't fully understand what it meant. And so I've studied heart. And I've looked up all the scriptures on heart. There's over 800 of them. Woohoo! That's been fun. And to try to understand what this heart is that I'm supposed to love God with. And if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 16 and verse 9, a great passage here. The heart of man determines his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I know yours doesn't read quite like that, but go back and check it out in the Hebrew. The heart of man determines his way. God will direct your path. How determined are you to make it to heaven? The word diligence was used this morning. Diligence. Determined. How many have ever seen the movie Iron Will? That one's not rhetorical because it's not attached to your sin, okay? So, Iron Will. How many have seen Iron Will? If you haven't seen Iron Will, you gotta get the movie. It's great. Talk about this guy is going to achieve his goal no matter what. And it almost kills him. Jesus achieved his goal and it did kill him. But he chose it, didn't he? Why did he choose it? Why did he choose with all resolve to go through with it? Why? Are you ready? You've already heard it. Because he loves you that much. How determined are you to love him with all your will? Are you? Iron will. There's so many others there, but time has escaped. The last one is the center of our motives. The reason for our responses to people and things. It's the inner drive or impulse to act. Hopefully not react. Okay? Be proactive, not reactive. The center of our motives. Reason for our responses. The inner drive or impulse to action. We really need to clean up our motives. We really do. And again, the Word of God is going to give us the right reasons for doing what we do. Take a look, would you? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. What time do you normally end? Where's Mike? 3? You end at 3 o'clock? Yes! All right! Yeah, all right! Tim, there's some verses we got to get back to here. I'm just kidding, Bob. You need to get to Belarus, okay? All right. 1 Corinthians in chapter... I like you guys out here. Man, that's great. Well, I like you anyway, Bob. It's great. At 3 o'clock. Wow. We can preach till midnight, see if we can repeat, you know, scriptural experiences. The windows aren't big enough. But anyway, 1 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the, what? Motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God. I had one of the ladies in our congregation come up to me after assembly when I did this. She goes, Did you read that scripture about 1 Corinthians 4? I go, yes. She goes, did you notice it was only for men? Yes. I'm like, oh, girl, come on. Everybody. The motives of your heart. Is it possible to give your body to be burned, give all your money to the poor, to preach great sermons all over the world, sacrifice everything you have from a wrong motive? Is it possible? Well, that's love, isn't it? Sacrificing yourself? That's love, isn't it? No, that's sacrificing yourself. What's underneath the skin? In the heart. Will motivate that kind of behavior. But can selfish motives motivate that kind of behavior? Oh, I'm going to go out and get Bible study so, you know, old Mike over there, he doesn't beat me out. He's got 4 and I need to get 5. Do you think that's possible? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, guard your heart. Examine yourself. Guard your heart, brothers. Examine your sisters. I don't know. Get that one messed up again. Sisters, guard your heart. Philippians in chapter 1, would you? Take a look here. Paul is so thankful that people are willing to preach. Even though he's in prison, he's going, man, the brothers have been encouraged to preach more. Get more Bible studies. Right? That's great. But take a look at what happens. Verse 15. You know, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love. Notice there's the motive. Love. I'm going to preach to folks because I love. But look at the next one. Knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel, the former proclaim Christ out of what? Selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. You know how many times I've heard Mark chapter 12, preached as a law? You want to be right with God, you need to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You got that? And you know how I'm going to know, Bob, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? It's the way you treat me. And it's been pretty crummy lately. So you don't love God. I just want to let you know. Okay? All right, good. I'm glad you got that one figured out. Well, thanks. I feel really edified. There's no way you can fulfill the two great commandments if you don't first understand God's love for you. A stream can rise no higher than its source. We love because He first loved us. We know love by this. He laid down His life first, and we are called to be like Him and lay down our lives for each other. Amen? My prayer is we'll know, believe, and abide in the love of God, because then we'll be able to love Him and others like He has loved us. Thank you very much.